Is there something in the human nature, Dr. Siegel, that creates fear, that allows people to be able to really push for fear because we just fall for it all the time?
Yeah, that's a great question, George, and I want to get into that into some depth, but I want to answer that in a roundabout way, because one of the people I just love, and I bet you do too, is Alfred Hitchcock.
Absolutely.
And Alfred Hitchcock had an answer to this question. He was asked, why did he scare people? And, you know, specifically, I think he was asked this about the birds, ironically, and he knew what scared people about birds. They have talons, and they have beady little eyes, and they swoop down out of nowhere, and you don't know when they're coming. And the thing that scares us most in the world is uncertainty, because uncertainty is tied to the fear of death. So we're afraid of the darkness. We're afraid of mystery. And so if you can paint something sinister or mysterious, then you get people's attention, and that's kind of what we're talking about when we're talking about how we're being manipulated here, you know, by people's agenda, because they're not choosing something that's boring. A bird scares us. But Hitchcock said that he felt that what he was doing was okay, because even if he revved up people's worries, they got to go home at the end of the movie, and they turned the projector off, and they went back to their real life.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not doing that anymore. We're burning our hands on the flame. I mean, we're not going back to real life. We keep taking these stories around with us, and I think we're better off with Hitchcock.
Well, you know, if I were to take a poll on just people who listen to Coast and what they like and what they don't like, I would bet that most people would rather, overall, listen to some scary demonic story than an angel that performs a miracle. Now, I would like, personally, I like a balance of both. I think there's a time and a place for both stories. But I bet if we did a poll, most people would like to have themselves scared to death because they like that, and they do exactly what you say. And then they shut the radio off when the show's over, and they go on for their daily life. They like that. But this is real life. And this fear every day that keeps hitting us over the head just doesn't seem to go away, which then brings us back to that question. What is it about the human being that wants this to happen?
Well, you know,
or do we?
George, I'm going to answer that one now, but, you know, ironically, in a way, we're keeping our listeners glued to the radio here because we're actually scaring people too tonight, but we're not scaring people about bird flu. We're scaring people about the people who are scaring us.
Yes,
about bird flu.
Okay, that's true.
You know, I mean, there are things to be afraid of here, and they're the people that, it's basically the people that are putting us in a position where we're unnecessarily worried. Here's how fear works. Fear is a deep-rooted system in the brain. There's a tiny organ in the center of the brain known as the amygdala. It's the shape of an almond. And it's very primitive, and we inherit it from the animal kingdom. But animals know how to deal with it a lot better than we do. They have what's called a fight-or-flight response, and we inherit that too. In other words, if a danger is looming, a gorilla is hanging over our head, some predator is about to get us, we go into overdrive, and we either escape or we battle back. And we have these stress hormones that get released, adrenaline and cortisol, and it works. The problem is that we humans are too smart for our own good. We're busy informing that system with risk assessment. We scan the environment looking for dangers, and when we see them, we turn on the fear system. But that fear system, once it's turned on, is very, very hard to turn off. You can send a safety signal to the brain, but the brain doesn't want to believe it. It wants to believe the fear signal. That's kind of what you were getting at a few minutes ago when you talked about why do people, are they drawn to fear? It's because it's a very strong and very primitive emotion. The good news is that the same fear center also processes courage and caring and passion and laughter. So you put a little laughter on the end of that bird flu message, and it actually works pretty well. You know, you can. I make jokes about Chicken Little. I think Chicken Little made $40 million its first week, and nobody realized that if Chicken Little wasn't afraid of the bird flu, and he's saying the sky is falling.
What timing when that came out, too. Well, you know, since 9/11, we've had a different mentality on this planet, and specifically this country. Even the evolution of this program has changed somewhat, because we had to adapt and we had to look at things a little differently. So when in the past This was truly a mystery-type program or a paranormal-type show, which it still has quite a bit of. For example, we'll be talking about the strange beans this week and things like that after talking to you about a very serious avian flu. But we had to adapt since 9/11 because this planet changed for us. And we couldn't go on the air every night and talk about some of the fun things and scary things we always wanted to do because right in the face of it, we had these very serious problems of real terrorism. Has that changed people, do you believe, on a mass scale?
George, I think that 9/11 opened a psychic wound, and I think it made us feel very susceptible and to any psychic danger. It is almost alien in a way, and that danger is something that appears sinister to us. It's a grizzled terrorist or a mysterious bird flu or some mailing of anthrax. Anything that's sinister gets us riveted, and it's almost like a cold wind is blowing across us, but it's out of proportion to our personal risk, and terrorists know that. You know, terrorists know that they can get a big bang for their buck with fear rather than bombs. And the one thing that we haven't done post 9/11 is to calculate that into the equation. We're talking about terrorism so much that we don't realize that it's become a code word for overreaction. You know, somebody in London gets blown up with a bomb and people in Omaha, Nebraska are afraid about it. But, it's not realistic, and it's based on the draw that something sinister has. And again, Hitchcock understood that. Why did the shower scene work in Psycho? It's because of the way the water was coming down in a way that, at an angle that you had never seen before when you were in a shower. You know, that made you say, this is very strange. Or when the knife came down, it came at an angle that you weren't used to seeing in any other movie. So you said,
and you never saw the actual stabbing. You never saw that. It was the image in our brain that he planted.
Exactly. And we personalized it. And that's what happened with 9/11. We all imagined it over and over and over again. And you know something? 9/11 is not to be downplayed at all. It was a horrible event, but I was actually thinking right after 9/11, what are we doing, with two big buildings right on the water there, right on the river, in the way of any flight pattern? I mean, this is what I mean when I talk about preparation versus panic. I mean, we can be prepared for things. We should have always had Manhattan Island as something you couldn't fly over with a plane. I mean, and the same with D.C. I mean, the fact that jets are able to get into a no-fly zone like that, I feel that we have to work on preparation and protection